Dave Pagnona from the fourth period joins us. Dave, how you doing?
Not too bad. Not bad. Hockey's back. How can you be anything worse?
That's great. Now, can you honestly see some way how the NHL, because I get why Pronger hasn't officially retired, because if he does, the Flyers really get screwed over due to the salary cap, because when he signed his contract. But would the NHL actually let them work for him while he's still on LTIR for the Flyers?
They're talking about it. They've been talking about it for some time. I mean, Prongs has been doing some stuff for the Flyers as well, outside of his player, quote-unquote player role. So he's already been kind of been grooming himself into getting into a managerial role in some capacity down the road. It's something that they've been asking about for a little bit of time now, and it's something that seems like they're considering, seriously considering. And if it happens, I wouldn't be surprised. I agree with what you said earlier. I don't think it's right. But I wouldn't be surprised at all if it ends up actually coming to fruition.
Wow. If I was the rest of the league, I'd be a tad sour about that one for sure. Dave, do you have the Flyers making the playoffs?
I don't. I have them just on the outside looking in. That was before I knew that half of Columbus was hurt.
Yeah.
But, originally I had them just on that borderline. If things work out in their favor, they can squeeze through. They've got some talent. They need big seasons from a few guys outside of Claude Giroux. They need Wayne Simmons to step up a little bit more than he has in the past. They need some of their younger kids to get into the groove, and they need Columbus to stay hurt. That'll help.
Yeah, definitely it will help. Looking at the other team, who is your surprise turnaround team in the NHL?
Well, I don't know if you can call Dallas or Detroit surprise turnaround teams. I really like what they've done, I like more so what Dallas has done in order to secure a full second line to propel them as to a top team in the West, or one of the top teams in the Western Conference. I think we're going to see some big things out of Dallas this season. In terms of just a full out turnaround, it's hard to say. I don't know if the Leafs have done enough to put them into a playoff position. They looked a little sloppy a number of times last night against the Montreal Canadiens, got lucky to be only down 4-3. The way that the Canadiens kind of woke up a little bit in the second period and coming into the third. But I like the depth that they added, and I think if, similar to Philly, if the right things kind of happen, they'll be able to push themselves just a little bit against some of the opposition and into a playoff position. Like I said, the depth they added up in their bottom six is really going to help them and should help them significantly. It was an issue for them last season where they weren't able to have the guys up front contributing significantly defensively and properly. And it's one of the reasons why we're not seeing guys like Fraser McLaren and Colton Orr in the lineup for the Leafs right now anyway, because they want to start to see how, you know, utilizing a two-way third line actually is supposed to work in the National Hockey League, and having a shutdown kind of fourth line or one that can help do that defensively can pay dividends. And that's what they're going for. And if it works out, I could see them turning around a little bit.
Yeah, I can tell you from experience, people who focus on the fourth line as the woes of a team that suddenly that's going to change everything are missing the boat. I was talked about in Edmonton for years. They wheeled in a new fourth line every year, and it never made a difference. I understand, you know, the need to not have two face punchers, but Colton Orr and McLaren, I looked at their ice time. Those guys were barely on the ice, and if you think those six shifts are suddenly going to propel the Leafs if their top guys don't play better, people are fooling themselves.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, exactly. It's certainly more than that. But one of the things the Leafs did this offseason was bring in, just from an overall team perspective, bring in guys that can play a little bit more responsibly defensively up front to be put into situations. Look at Montreal, who obviously beat the Leafs yesterday. They bring in a guy like Manny Malhotra to sign him to put him into pressure situations to win faceoffs and defensive situations as well, to kind of alleviate that pressure off of Thomas Plekanec, to give him more of an offensive role moving on throughout the course of the season. That's what they'd like to do, to have him play with Brendan Gallagher and Alex Galchenyuk. For the Leafs, not having to throw Tyler Bozak out in a defensive situation because he can be a bit of a defensive liability at times, even though he's pretty good at the faceoff dot, getting him out of those situations and saving his legs and breath a little bit could potentially help them out down the road. But they did the same thing on the blue line, where they don't have to well, in their mind anyway, bringing in some other guys in Stefan Robida and Roman Polak to eliminate the need to throw Dion Phaneuf out there 24, 25, 26 minutes a game, when realistically he should be around the 20, 21 mark on a game-by-game basis, because as we all know, the longer he plays, the more mistakes he tends to make, because he's trying to do too much, and they're trying to eliminate those factors. And if it works out, great. If it doesn't, well, yeah, you're eventually going to have to address the fact that they have no number one center, but let's go slow and then go from there.
Dave Pagnotta from the Fourth Period joins. Now, you mentioned Detroit. You think the Red Wings are capable of turning around? To me, that I know, like, the Mike Babcock situation I find very interesting, but I just – the Red Wings are a team, to me, in the East where Columbus has improved, the Islanders have improved, that, and Datsyuk's out again to start the season. Why do you think they can rebound and be a better team, not just squeaking into the playoffs?
I really like their young kids, and the fact that they're going to have a full season under their belt and start from the get-go is something that I feel is going to propel them and pay dividends for them, regardless of what's happening with Mike Babcock. He's talking to the team internally and telling them, you know, guys, this is a separate situation. I don't want to harp on this. It's not something we need to focus on and worry about. And, yeah, not having Pavel Datsyuk out of the gate is going to – it sucks for them, and you know, it's the nature of the beast. A lot of teams are losing some guys, but I think to have guys like Jerko and Nyquist and Tatar, these guys that are going to have a full season with them, Joakim Andersson, that are going to be able to play day in and day out, knowing that they're regulars now on this team. These are talented players that are being given opportunities to shine, for lack of a better term. And to have that confidence in them right off the bat should improve them. I like the lineup. Defense is always going to be a question mark right now for Detroit until they're able to bring in somebody, or if one of their younger kids, if DeKaiser or Erickson really step up, Brendan Smith perhaps. But that's always an area that, since Nicholas Lidstrom has kind of left them, it's Nick Cronwall back there, and they need some additional veteran support. But outside of that, I'm really confident in the group that they have up front. And I think the younger kids are going to be able to solidify them for a 25 years straight of making the playoffs, if they can do it this year.
What do you make of the Washington Capitals?
The easy way to go about it is to say that it all really depends on how Alex Ovechkin performs, and I think he's going to perform really well. I think the fact that, you know, they made the coaching change, and hopefully the last one for the Capitals in a long time, because they've made way too many of them. But they bring in a guy who spent his entire career with Nashville and Barry Trotz, and a guy that is very well respected around the National Hockey League. I think, and based on some guys that I've talked to, the message to Alex Ovechkin during camp was smack you in the face and wake up and get back into the swing of things. Get back to how you were playing in the first few years you were in the National Hockey League. He's taken himself away from that. He's been way too serious at times, and unfortunately that has taken him away from being a team guy in the room. And this is a guy that's got to see, and he's not paying attention, or last season anyway, wasn't paying attention during intermission. He was sitting in the room while the rest of the team is, you know, talking about strategy and trying to warm up and get ready for the next period. He was kind of off in his own little land, sitting at his sitting by his stall. Apparently things have changed already, and that he's been a little more into the groove and into the swing of things with camp, with his teammates. And we've even seen the personality come out a little bit more from him in the first few weeks of camp, and hopefully we see that throughout the course of the season. I think he's going to do well. I picked him to win the Rocket Richard this year as the league's top scorer again, and I think he's going to creep around the 55 to 60 goal mark. And if he can do that, and if he can make sure that the team's playing better defensively and he's not out there with a minus 20 or minus 30, they should be a team that creeps into the playoffs. I actually picked them in the last wild card spot to make the postseason.
And what about the Islanders? Are they a playoff team?
The short answer is no, in my opinion, not yet. Even with the additions of Nick Leddy and Johnny Boychuk, they've got some good young pieces in there, and I'm really interested to see how Anders Lee really performs throughout the course of the season. I liked what I saw from him at the end of the year on Long Island, but now it's a full season under his belt. They need Michael Grabner to wake up. It's the National Hockey League in both conferences is competitive. If this were a Western Conference team, they'd be probably near the bottom, even though they've got Johnny Tavares. But there are a few other areas. Yeah, they improve goaltending. Yeah, they bolster their blue line a little bit. But it's a win by committee for the New York Islanders if they're going to make the playoffs. And they're going to need their depth guys to really perform and outperform everybody's expectations. I don't think they're there just yet.
Dave, always good to catch up with you. Enjoy night two, where it officially begins for everybody else in the NHL.
Can't wait. Thanks, guys.